I tell you what, I appreciate these guys. They help so much. You never know what it does for a church service unless you don't have it. And then all of a sudden you go, it's like when you're making a cake and instead of sugar you put salt in it. It's still cake, and it still looks like cake, but there's an off taste. Amen? And when there's an off taste like that, you don't like it as much, and that's just the way that it is. So I like the flavor. Amen. The flavor. Praise the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that our worship is a sweet-smelling aroma or a savor unto the Lord. So when you worship, whenever you praise, you're not just speaking into the air or speaking into the wind or something like that. You're talking to a real God. He's a real God for real people. Look at your neighbor and say, I think you're real. Amen. I think you're real. You're a real person. And because you're a real person, you speak to a real God. You see, the world tries to tell us that there is no God. 1968, Time magazine had a front page cover and it said, God is dead. Well, you know, they didn't tell God that. He didn't know that he was dead. Amen. But they said he was dead, and they said he was outdated, and that was antique and old-fashioned and not worthy of anybody talking about or thinking about. But, oh, what a God. What a God we serve. I've never in my life been ashamed of my God. Amen. And I tell you what, the enemy would try to tell you all kinds of stuff. He'd try to twist it all up in your head and mix you up and confuse you and all those kinds of things and get other people to side with him against God and against what God's doing in your life or for you or with you. And sometimes you'll get to believe in the devil. How many of you can testify to the fact that there have been times in your life when you just simply, you may not have seen it this way at the time, but you just simply agreed with the devil. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. That's exactly what my message is about today. And I know God has a word for someone here this morning. I tell you what, last week, God moved by his power. Our hearts and lives were touched and changed. God spoke a word to me. A very powerful, succinct word that God gave to me. And the gist of it was, I'm not going to go into all the detail because a lot of it was just for me and Trina personally. But the Lord spoke this word to me through one of his children, one of his saints, one of his servants. And the Holy Spirit said, what you thought was buried and dead and gone is not. It's just that I am about to raise up something else brand new to life. That was the gist of the message. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I got excited because God's still talking to this old East Texas boy. Amen? Hallelujah. You may think that, you know, I've come too far, done too much, seen too much, been too much, gotten into too much. Well, you don't know how much more we've got of God. Amen? He's a much more God. In fact, my Bible says he's the Most High God. Hallelujah. Most High. That means there's nothing else any higher. Amen. So I'm going to bow myself to him and not to anything else. Amen. For all of you who are visitors this morning, God bless you. If you're a visitor, would you just raise your hand? I want to point you out and make you look scared. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know they tell me this is not the way to do it, but I love visitors and so is this church. Give these brothers a big hand this morning. God bless you for being here. Amen. I know sometimes that singles people out and makes them feel foolish, but not in this house. This is a family, and we love people this morning. Amen. And I know who you are, Brother Gaffney, so I'm so glad you're here. He's one of our WMF members, and he's under our church pastoral oversight, and we've been communicating, and he's been working in the prisons. He's been working in some rehabilitation-type programs and things like that. God's blessing, amen? People's getting saved, filled with the Spirit, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited, hallelujah. Glory, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited. Our convo is up on us. And so pray for Trina mainly because she's the one that puts all that stuff together. And you can pray for me putting up with her. But anyway, it's I'm kidding. She's a sweetheart. She's a blessing, and she just does whatever has to be done to get the job done. And I love her for that. God knew that a couple of things about me. One, he knew that my marriage would be a wreck if I had married a woman that was always late somewhere. I would have ran my car into a tree or something before I... Back when our babies were little, three babies, have to get them ready. We were always... wait 20, 30 minutes to an hour early for church or for anything else. We just got up and made it happen. I say we, mainly her. You know, the way that I heard the car horn honking out there on a Sunday morning. And I went out there and said, "What's going on, Trina?" She's in there honking the horn. She said, "I wanted to trade places with you." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, for once, I just wanted to sit in the car, honk the horn while you got the kids dressed." But we never did that. That's just a joke. It was pretty funny, though. God knew that I needed a woman that was had a lot of administrative skills and all those kinds of things, because I'm the kind of guy that just gets ideas. I really don't care where they go. I just get an idea and we go. Amen. I just know that God said do it, and we just jump on that wagon, and God said it. Well, we're just going to do it. Amen. There was a little boy, and he always went over next door to play in the neighbor's yard, even though his mom told him, "Don't do that." And so this worried his mom so badly that she asked him, "Why in the world are you so disobedient?" And he replied that Satan tempted him. He tempted him so bad that he didn't know what to do. He was just in a turmoil. And the devil would just tell him, "Get over here and play in that yard." I know this devil. He's the same one who used to tell me play in the water when mama said no. And his mom then advised him to say these words. She said, "Now, son, whenever that devil tempts you, you just say these words. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." Whenever you get tempted, you just say, "Get behind me, Satan." So then, to make it even more official, the mom had a nice fence built around her yard so the little boy couldn't get out. And so it worked for about a week. Then one Sunday afternoon, his mom looked out of the window, and there was her boy playing in the neighbor's yard, having cut a hole in the fence. She said, "Boy, get in here right now. Didn't I tell you to say, 'Get behind me, Satan,' whenever he tempted you?" "Yes," the boy replied, "and I did it. I said, 'Get behind me, Satan,' and he went around behind me and pushed me right through a hole in the fence." Have you ever felt like that before? You know, it's easier to just stay out of that kind of situation. Even when there's a fence around it, though, we all have the propensity to go through that fence, to go through that hole in the fence, as it were. But this is exactly how the devil operates. This is exactly what the devil wants to do in our lives. And you know what he does? He just talks. He just talks. And this morning, the title of my message is "Look Who's Talking Again." Look Who's Talking Again. We all have and understand the idiom of speech, "Look Who's Talking." We all know what that means, right? If you're in a conversation with somebody and you say, "Look Who's Talking," you understand that the person you're talking to is yakking and yakking and yakking about something that somebody else is doing, when all the time they're doing it themselves. And so in your mind, you're going, "Look Who's Talking." Right? Now let's just break that down. That's what the devil does. He says things, and he talks, and he yaks, and he builds a case against you, and he tells you that you're damned to a devil's hell, and that you're no good, and that you're never going to amount to anything, that you're never going to make it to heaven. Wait a minute, look who's talking. Well, you didn't get it. I said, look who's talking. We allow him to say things and to do things to us and to push our buttons so many times. And the truth of the matter is, look who's talking. My Bible says that he is condemned to a devil's hell, not to a saint's hell. To a devil's hell. In fact, the Bible says that him and his unholy horde will be chained and thrown into a bottomless pit. And it says that he is going to be there forever and ever and ever with no hope of coming out of that place. So that's his eternal punishment. That's his eternal reward. That's not yours. Oh, you ought to be excited this morning. Our reward is heaven and all that goes with it, because we believed on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can you say amen? So the devil talks. And I'm going to tell you this, he talks again. If you think for 1 minute that he's going to talk and then you're going to get the victory over whatever he says and then you'll never have to deal with him again, you are sadly mistaken. He's going to talk again. Everybody say, he'll talk again. And he'll keep on and on and on. So let's talk about this for just a moment. Have you ever been around somebody that just would not shut up? Just would not quit talking. My son Zachary, what? When he was little, he got a little card or something signed by his teacher. And his teacher said, we love him in our class. He's so much fun and so outgoing. And however, if he could just get a handle on the amount of talking that he does, boy, we would really appreciate that. That was a very kind little note as to what it could have been. And so it was humorous to me, although if I had been that teacher, it would have been horrible to me. So I brought Zachary in, and I guess I picked him up that day, and I read that card. Were you in the car with? I think you were. Anyway, I picked him up, and I said, "Son, your teacher has written this note, and it says that she loves you. She thinks you're a great kid. You're so much fun to have in class." And he is. He's a one man party by himself. You don't have to have anybody else to have a party. Just Zach. And what he can't think up, somebody else, Briar, somebody else will think it up, and they'll get into it and do it. And so they're a blast to be around. And I said, "Son, I don't want," because I didn't want to squash that about him, you know, because that's a precious thing to have. And I didn't want to squash it, so I was being as delicate as I said, "Son, bottom line is your teacher says you're talking too much and it's disrupting the class. Is there anything that you have to say about it?" He said, "Yes, Dad, there's a lot of things I need to say about that. And here's what it is." He said, "I've got all these words and they're just going round and round and round." He's 5 or 6. "These words are going round and round in my head and I just have to blurt them out." I said, "Okay." And I never got a handle on that, and he's still doing it. But have you ever been around somebody that just wouldn't shut up? Have you? It's annoying. It is annoying, especially if you don't really want to talk to them. Have you ever stopped somebody in a? Have you ever been in a grocery store and you saw somebody and you went, "Oh no, oh no, oh no, not no, God, Jesus, oh Lord, help us. Lord," and you go over behind the dog food because you know they don't have a dog, and you're like, "Oh Lord," and wouldn't you know it, they just bought a dog, and so they come over there right beside you, and you're like, "Oh my goodness," and so you prepare, you psych yourself up, and you're like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You psych yourself up, and brother or sister wordy word come over there. And they just begin to, you know, excuse me, diarrhea of the mouth. I mean, it just goes and just goes and goes and won't stop and won't stop and won't stop. And you have no idea. You've got a lot of information, but you have no idea what they're really saying. And all you can think of is, "Lord, one of two things. The rapture, that's great. And I don't have to listen to this anymore. Or just, you know, do like you did John the Baptist daddy and just make them shut up, make them go mute." It's annoying. I've been in conversations before with people where the conversation expired, but they kept talking. Too much information. Have you ever gotten too much information from somebody? You just standing there talking, and all of a sudden, yeah, and my dad used to murder cats. What? Well, that explains a lot. I mean, you know, you just get information you don't want. Just, you know, you're crazy. You know, you just don't want to hear it. We've all been there. Everybody's been there. That is exactly what the devil does. That's exactly. The devil treats yours and my ears like a garbage can. He tries to put in everything he can to see if he can get something to stick. That's his way. He talks and he talks. He never shuts up. And here's the other thing about it. Whenever he talks, it's always negative. Say this out loud. When the devil talks, it's always negative. When the devil talks, he always says something negative, and at the end of the conversation, you are the loser. He makes sure that you know you're the loser in that situation. How many of you know misery loves company? And that's what he does. He brings misery because he's full of it and he knows his end. If you let him, what he will do is he will talk you out of everything good that God has done or that God wants to do in your life. He will talk you out of every good thing that God has ever done for you if you let him. Now this is where I want to get down to what the Bible says about this. My question, or my presupposition, I suppose, if you want to put it this way, my question that I want to ask you is this, and I want you to listen carefully. What has the devil been able to talk you out of this time? What is it that the devil has been able to talk you out of this time? You see, when he starts, it's just a little something. You know, if the devil was to rush in and do something horrid and horrible up front the first time, then you would see it, you would notice it, you would understand it. But his way is a little more subtle. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, because in the book of Genesis, it says, and the serpent who was more subtle than every other creature, read it for yourself, the word subtle's in there, subtle than any other creature, came to Eve and convinced her by talking. He talked her out of her position with God. And that's what the devil wants to do to you today. And for some of you in this room, he's in the process of doing that right now. But because of the power of Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's not going to happen to you today. Can you say amen? But he wants that to happen in your life. He wants to talk you out of. He wants to talk you out of your position with him. He wants to talk you out of your ministry with him or from him. He wants to talk you out of any and every good thing that has ever been done in your life, through your life, or by God. He wants to talk you out of whatever it is that is making a difference in your life and in the life of someone else. He seeks to destroy, the Bible says. But what is it that the devil has been able to talk you out of this time? Listen, you are under no obligation to listen to what the devil says. You are under no obligation to take it to heart. In fact, I want to just read a verse of scripture here to you. It's found in the book of John chapter 8. And I'm just getting into the middle of the story. Jesus is talking to a group of religious leaders as well as others around, just people in general. But there were some religious leaders there that had questioned him about being from the Father and all those kinds of things. And he told them, he said, you don't know me because you don't know my Father. And I'm here to teach you about the Father. And if you would listen, you would see that I'm all about God the Father. I'm about Jehovah God. And you're trying to make this about something else. And that's not what I'm trying to make it about. I'm trying to make it about him. And you're doing something different. And so in the middle of that, he says these words in John chapter 8, verse 41. He says, no, what's happening is you are imitating your real father. They replied, "We're not illegitimate children." See, they threw that up to him. They said, they called Jesus an illegitimate child because Joseph and Mary, Mary was pregnant before Joseph and her got married. And so everybody around the Galilee region whispered. He said, they all said, "We're not illegitimate children. We're real. God himself is our father. He's our true father." Jesus told him, "If God were your father, you would love me. Because I've come to you from God. I am not here on my own. But he sent me." Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. Stop right there. It's because you can't even hear me. Here's what the devil does. He fills our ears and sees to it that our minds and our lives are so crowded with garbage that we cannot filter through that junk and hear what God is saying to us. And so when God speaks, even when we read the word, all of a sudden, every other distraction, everything else comes into our heart, comes into our mind, comes into our life, and we start thinking about things that are totally erroneous, absurdities, things that have nothing to do that, with a child of God. And the devil sees to it that he puts that stuff inside of us. He said, "You can't even hear me. Your ears are so full of garbage from your father, the devil." Because watch what he says here. Look at this. He said, "You can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does." He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there is no truth. Listen, Jesus said there is no truth in the devil. And when he lies, when the devil lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So listen to me carefully. When we listen to the garbage that the enemy tries to force on us and force into our ear, whenever we hear all of the negative side of everything, and when we bring that to us, it's impossible then for us to hear a pure word from God. God is trying to get through that stuff, but because of our inability to resist the devil, we're going to talk about that in a minute, for our inability to resist him and not listen to the garbage, our minds are so cluttered, our ears are so cluttered, that we can't even hear the truth of the Spirit of God. There's some of you this morning that are sitting here listening to me, and you hear me repeating words, and the enemy's trying to stop you from what you're listening to this morning, so that your life can't be changed. The devil doesn't want anything good for you. Nothing. He just wants you to suffer. And he wants you to suffer along in silence. Because he knows, if you ever get enough Holy Ghost on the inside of you to talk back to the devil, oh, come on. Some of you need to learn how to talk back to the devil. "Well, I can't do that." Yeah, you can. Oh, yes, you can. "Well, I'm not spiritually in the place." If you've got 1 ounce of Jesus in you, oh, come on, somebody. If you've got one little feather worth of Jesus in you, you got enough Jesus in you to defeat every devil in the whole pit of hell. Can you say amen to that? That's the kind of Jesus you've got. But the devil, he wants you to be confused. He wants you to be mixed up. He wants you to be concerned about things. Jesus said he's always hated the truth. There's no truth in him. If the devil is talking, he's lying. Amen. Here's all that the devil can do. Listen carefully. All that he can do is insinuate things. That's all he can do. He insinuates things. All he can do is suggest things. "Well, that is a knot on my leg. Well, let me go to WebMD. 95 out of 100 people with knots on their legs end up dying of a heart attack." What? You say, "No, that's not right, cancer." See, you read it already. You know the answer. But I go to my Bible and it says, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. That's what his word says. Amen. Holy Spirit, let it get in. Let every word the enemy has spoken, just let those words dissolve right now in Jesus' name. You need to get this. Look who's talking again. You going to let him? You going to let him keep doing that? All he's going to do is suggest stuff. All he's going to do is hint at things. It can be all the way from super big things like sinfulness in your life or diseases or all of that, to small things like the way you're dressed. You say, well, that can never have any bearing on the way that I live my life for Christ. Are you kidding me? I know humans too much. Been around them too much. Well, I just don't look good. Don't feel good. Don't smell good. Well, fix it. It's easy to fix. Amen. Easy to fix. Don't let the devil talk you out of doing things. Well, I can't do this. I don't have the right this, that, or the other. You know what? God made you the way that you are, so thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Get up and be all you can be for the kingdom of God, looking just like you look. Amen. The devil asks absurd questions. Don't you realize you can't trust God? How many times have you trusted him? How many times have you prayed? Don't you realize by now you can't trust him? Absurd. Insinuates, suggests, or he'll accuse your motives, or he'll accuse you of your actions. Well, you're only doing that to be seen by somebody else. And there may be something down inside of you, and that thought may have hit your head before, and you may have thought it through, and then when he suggests, you go, well, that's kind of right. And then, well, yeah, that's probably, and you get all bent down under that garbage that he says. You going to let him talk to you that way? Look who's talking. He's the one that's got wrong motives. He's the ones that's got wrong actions, not you. If you've got wrong motives and wrong actions, get them cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's an easy fix, amen? But the devils can't be fixed, so he wants to bring you down to where he is. Remember this one thing. When all of those accusations, when all of that insinuation, when all of those suggestions come at you, remember this, he is a liar. So it's not truth. He's the father of lies, and he's the father of liars. When you and I hear a lie or tell a lie or get involved in a lie, you know what we're doing? We're having faith in the devil. When he tells you something and you accept it and you say, well, it's probably the way it is, all of a sudden, you just agreed with the devil. That's having faith in the devil. Too heavy, too hard for a Sunday morning? It's an easy fix. Have faith in the Son of God. Can you say amen? To have faith in him is to say the same thing that he says. To confess, or whenever the devil suggests something and you go, well, yeah, that's true, I do. That is what is, that's, yeah. When you agree with him, you're doing the same thing that God's word tells us to do with Jesus. Jesus says, agree with me. He says, hold fast the profession or the confession of your faith. Why does he say, hold it fast? Why does he say, take a grip on it? Because apparently he knows the devil will try to talk you out of it. Come on, you better be listening. Apparently the devil will try to talk you out of what you know God has already promised you, what he's already said to you. And so we hear the devil say something, and we just agree with him up front. And that's having faith in the devil. But the Bible says that we're to have faith in the Son of God. Can you say amen? The Bible also tells us that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you see, he's buffaloed us, he's bullied us to believe that if he's coming after us, he's got us. It's just like a lion in the jungle. Now, I've never been in a jungle with a lion, but I have a good friend, two good friends, one from South Africa, Don Norman, and another one, Makumbi Johnson. And both of them have told me the same identical thing. Makumbi, as well as Brother Don Norman, he told me, he said, if you're walking on a path through the jungle and a lion comes up to you, he said, if you want to die, take off running. He said, but if you want to live, you turn around and you stare him down in the eye. And he said, it's just the way of a lion. They want to know who is superior. They want to know who is the alpha male in this situation. And so, if you want to die, take off running. The same is with the enemy. The Bible calls him this, he's like, he's not a lion, but he's like a roaring lion. Why does it say he's like a roaring lion? Because it's that roar that paralyzes everybody with fear. So the devil does or says something, brah, and we all go, woo. We're paralyzed with fear. All of a sudden, whenever that fear comes in, which is false evidence appearing real, when that comes in, all of a sudden our faith goes right out the door. And all we can hear is the roar of a fake lion. And he's seeking whom he may devour. So one day he's going to come up to Maddie and he's going to go, rah! But if she has faith in God and she is a strong believer and she hangs on to what God has said, he'll go over to Kayla. And he'll roar at her. But if she's strong and has faith in God, she'll jump over to, that lion will jump over to Briar or to Renee or to the next one. Seeking whom he may. He just keeps knocking on everybody's door, seeing who's home. You're not listening. He wants to know, are you going to take the bait? He's going to talk and talk and suggest and insinuate and hint at things you've never even done. He's going to mess around and push buttons, and he's going to keep on talking and keep on pushing, and until he finds somebody that says, yeah, that's me. He'd have never known. We think the devil is all-knowing. Well, guess what? Only God is. The devil is a created being. He's not a superior being. He is a created being. And as a created being, did you know he doesn't know what your next move will be? He only knows what your words are. And he's got a whole legion of demons and angels that sit around listening for your words. I'm doing you better than you're saying amen. And so if we let him, if you tell him where you stand, then he's done. If you tell him you're standing on the promises of God, if you're standing on the word, then he knows that's where you stand. But if he knocks on your door and you say, yeah, that's right, I'm on a, yeah, you're right, then he's got you. You see? Just remember, if he's talking, he's a lion. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5 here. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments. Everybody say, we destroy arguments. That was weak. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And what the devil does is he gives us words to see if we'll take that bait and use it to his advantage, or if we will take what God says and use that to our advantage. The weapons of our warfare, they're not
fleshly, they're not human, but they have divine power so that they can destroy a stronghold. And you've heard me preach this enough. Please don't tell me you don't understand that a stronghold is in your mind, something you think, something you thought. Well, I thought it was like this. There are some people in this room, you have lived your life a certain way because you thought the Bible said something it didn't say. There are people that have lived their lives based on something they thought someone else wanted them to do. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. You know, the fear of man is a horrible thing. The fear of man is a horrible thing. To be afraid of another human is a horrible thing. It will make you do things that you should never do. But God's word and all the weapons that he gives us, his word, prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, praise and worship, there's many weapons that we have. They, every single thing in this verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians, if you're not taking notes, you need to. Every one of these things in 2 Corinthians 10, it says that we destroy strongholds. A stronghold is a thought in the mind. And the enemy, all he can do is suggest and put thoughts in your mind. And then verse 5 says, we destroy arguments. The devil makes arguments. He just makes up stupid arguments all the time. In your mind, you know I'm telling you the truth. And every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. The devil tries to make his knowledge higher than God. Well, you know what? That's true. That's really true. You know, people get into all these arguments. Well, I don't know if the Bible can be trusted because it was written by 40 different men. And you know, we just don't know if we can trust that God's... Get over it. I said, get over it. You can trust God and you can trust his word and you know it's the truth. And if we'll listen to Jesus, then every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God has to come down, has to be destroyed. And then we take every thought. Everybody say, take every thought. Hold your hand up. Say, take every thought. It says, we take every thought. You see, a lot of times what we do is we allow the devil to put all those suggestions and hints and insinuations in our minds, and then we just let it run rampant in there like a pinball game. And the Bible says, hey, spiritual son, spiritual daughter, take hold of those thoughts and stop it right now. How do you do that, Pastor? By the word. By his word. By his word. By his word. Find every scripture about that situation and take command over those things. I've already told you this. Eve and Adam were talked out of Garden of Eden. They were talked out of their home. They were talked out of their possessions and they were talked out of their position with God. They let the devil talk them out. Moses was talked out of the promised land. He was convinced that hitting the rock was better than doing what God said to do. And he was talked out of the promised land in his head. No man told him to do it. That was all internal. Every bit of it was internal. Every bit of it was internal. Holy Spirit's dealing with somebody right now. Holy Spirit's dealing with somebody right now. It's internal. Jonah was talked out of his ministry. Jonah was talked out of his ministry. He finally went and did what God told him to do, but it almost cost him his life. He was talked out of his ministry. He was his own worst enemy. However, anytime you have disobedience, the devil's at the root of it because he's talking. Jonah let his fear and hatred of others direct his steps away from God's divine call on his life. And the Bible says, four different times it says, and he went down. He went down into a ship. And he went down to Tarsus, and he went down, and he went down. It says it 3-4 times, he went down. That's what the devil will have you doing. He'll have you going down, 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 and just talk you out of your position with God. Now, the devil will tell you that you're too young or you're too old to do something for Jesus. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to close here this morning. What is it in you that when he comes to you, you're not able to stand up to him? What is it that has caused you to fear either him or others or not trust God? Or what is it that's caused that? I'm going to ask you this question. Can you, right now, can you be told by the devil that you're either too young or too old to do something for the Lord? Well, I can't do that because I'm too young. I can't do that. I'm too old. Well, people are going to say things. People, what about God? Come on, I'm doing you good this morning. What about God? Can the devil convince you that you're not good enough to do something? What are you willing to give up this morning? What are you willing to let him talk you out of? Can the devil put it into your mind that you have no business being involved because of your past? Can he do that? Can he do that to you right now? What is it in you that allows him to do that? Well, because the truth is, in my past, there was bad stuff. In the where? Where? Which does not exist anymore. You can never get it back. You ought to be up shouting right now. My Bible says that I have stepped over a line. I have gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah, but I can still remember it. Quit fishing in that pond. Oh, you didn't hear me. Let's all stand this morning. You got to hear what the Spirit would say to you this morning. What is it that you're willing to let the devil have? What is it that you're willing to let him have in your life? What is it that he can suggest to you that you say, well, I guess. Can he suggest to you for some reason that you're just too busy to pray? Can he suggest to you that you're just too busy or it just doesn't work for you to read his Bible, to read his word? Is there any way that the devil could convince you that it's just a big stupid thing to give financially to his work? Can he convince you of any of these things? If he can convince you of that, then he'll go a lot further. That'll be just the first few steps. Hallelujah. Matt, would you come? I want you to play that last song. Our God is greater. Amen. Our God is greater. Can the devil get it into your head that you don't need to be a regular attender at church services? Can he get that into your head? Can he get that into your heart? So, well, I don't, you know, well, God understands. Yeah, he understands. He absolutely understands. Has the devil kept you praying from praying every day in the Holy Spirit? If he has, you need to check your prayer life. Has he convinced you that there's no need to pray? Has he convinced you that there's no need to push for revival in this church or in this community or in this state or in the world? Has he convinced you that's not the way that it's going to happen anymore? Is that what he's convinced you of? Have you given up hope because for some reason you haven't seen the things that you've been praying for? They haven't appeared to you. And so have you given up hope? If anything of these things about you are true, then you've been listening to the father of lies. You've been listening to the wrong dad. It's time we started listening to our real father, and here's what he says. John 16:33 said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have some trouble. That's just the way it's going to be. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can you say amen? 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You've been born of God. You're going to be a world overcomer. I love this verse of scripture in Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Hallelujah. You see, we forget his benefits. We start listening to the devil, and the devil tells us this is bad, this is bad, it's going downhill, it's negative, you don't need to be in ministry, you don't need to be involved in church, you don't need to be this, you don't need to be that, you're after all, you're just a loser, etc., etc. Look at him and say, look who's talking. Look who's talking. You're the loser, not me. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Look who's talking. I'm not going to buy that garbage, because it says we don't forget all of his benefits. And here are some of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities. Hallelujah. All of them. Well, what if he didn't forget? He forgives all of them. Oh, that one's too big. No, it's not. Just one drop of blood. One drop of blood. He heals all your diseases. Somebody say, he heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. I love the scripture in Psalm 107 verse 20 where it says that he redeems us from the pit. I did some word study on that one time. And in the Hebrew, it's an idiom, it's a phrase, a phrase that's just unique to the Hebrew language. And it says, if you look it up in the Hebrew lexicon, it says, from the pit you dug for yourself. I said, glory! Because most of the pits I've been in, I dug them myself. Amen. I dug them myself. And God says, I deliver you from the pit you dug yourself into. Glory to God. Somebody ought to be excited this morning about the Holy Ghost. Come on. Hallelujah. He redeems your life from destruction. And he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. If there's bad things coming out of your mouth, you need to get satisfied again. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. If negative stuff is coming out of your mouth, you're not going to have the strength. You're not going to be renewed like the eagles. You're going to be down. You're going to be like the donkey Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. You're going to be like Pigpen with a dark, nasty cloud running everywhere you go. You're going to have that garbage on top of you. But he says, if your mouth is satisfied with good things, then it's going to renew your strength like an eagle. Oh, hallelujah. My father says in James chapter 4 verse 7, submit therefore to God, and listen to this, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will tuck his tail and run the other way. That's what it says. He'll flee from you. Then he tells me, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What we do is we get in trouble, we get into sin, we get into problems, and we run from God. Guess what we have? No power. No help, no hope. He said, I don't care. Have you ever, one time in your life, has one of your babies, one of your children, gone outside, been playing in the dirt all day long, muddy head to toe, and they're running down the driveway, and they fall, and they scrape their leg, and there's blood pouring out of their leg. That little baby comes up to you and says, Mommy, Daddy, and you go, yuck. You're filthy. Get away from me. You're bleeding. You're broken. You're covered in mud. You smell. Have you ever done that one time to one of your children? One time. One time. Never, ever, ever. And we get ourselves all skinned up and filthy from head to toe and muddy and bloody and everything else. And the devil says, see, he don't like you anymore. And you go, that's right. You just ate it. You just bought it.